This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by True Niagen. New True Niagen Pro contains a unique form of vitamin B3, clinically proven to safely increase NAD, which is a vital resource used every day to help fuel and maintain the health of all living cells. NAD is critical for energy and cellular repair and supports muscle function. But as we age, NAD has been found to decline up to 50%. True Niagen Pro is clinically proven to safely increase NAD levels, caring for your cells to help you age better and live better. True Niagen Pro is only available through healthcare practitioners. Just go to drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com to get yours. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and today we're going to take a deep dive into the subject of supplements for weight loss. Now, I'm going to say right up front, full disclosure, I am a big skeptic about supplements for weight loss. There's many audacious claims out there about this or that or the other supplement is a miracle supplement that makes the pounds melt away effortlessly. I'm not a big believer in that. I think there's a lot of hype in the nutritional field. And that's why I've invited today's guest. He is scrupulously honest in reviewing supplements. He is one of the good guys in the nutritional field. He's been a frequent guest here on Intelligent Medicine in the past. Neil Levin is Clinical Senior Nutrition Education Manager for Protocol for Life Balance, the manufacturers of supplements of very high quality that I often depend on for patients and for listeners. And Neil, it's a pleasure having you on Intelligent Medicine.
Well, I'm glad you had me back. Thank you, Dr. Hoffman.
Okay, well, I hope you're going to be able to set us straight a little bit on this very, very confusing area of supplements for weight loss. So do you agree with my preliminary statement where, you know, I'm thinking that maybe we should approach this area with a little bit of skepticism?
I think we should, because I've noticed over the years, I've been a clinical nutritionist since the early 1990s, that almost any diet will work, no matter how contradictory, for a while. And some examples would be if you're on a low-carb diet or a low-fat diet or a low-sugar diet or a low-grain diet. There's so many variations. But in any case, when you're starting a new diet, you're really paying attention to what you eat. You're selecting and editing what you eat. And that almost always results in a good effect in terms of body composition, weight management, and those kind of issues. The problem is after 2 months, 4 months, 6 months, whatever, people simply don't continue on these very strict diets. And they tend to go back to their old habits. Maybe they've achieved what they wanted, but then they're backsliding. Maybe they didn't achieve what they were going for, and they still say, okay, that's enough. I'm going to go back and eat the stuff I like. Maybe they just can't pay attention that long. Their attention spans are too low.
It's a little bit like a honeymoon effect. You know, or sometimes we refer to it as the Hawthorne effect. In any experiment, you know, if you pay attention to something, like pay attention to what you're eating, or you pay attention to, you know, the exercise you're doing, for a while there's going to be a compliance effect. You're complying, and it's all good. But maybe it has something to do with the body is a little bit unforgiving weight thermostat. You know, there's sort of a mechanism that sort of wants to propel us back to our original weight.
That's part of it. And certainly the amount of calories coming in and exercise and calories being burned are an important factor in all this. If you think that relying on a pill is going to replace controlling the caloric intake, controlling how many calories you're burning, you're in a dream world. That's not going to be real. And you have to combine all these things. Now, one thing I will mention is that people on restricted diets almost always need some kind of dietary supplementation, because every controlled diet tends to lack certain nutrients. If you're on a keto diet, maybe you're lacking some nutrients that would otherwise be in the diet. You're eating a heavy meat and fat diet, for example, and you're not getting the phytocompounds, the plant-based compounds that are in plant foods that you're not eating. You're not getting, for example, prebiotic fiber to help with gut bacteria growth mm-hmm. and health.
So that could be a drawback of a very low, like a meat-based or carnivore diet, where you're not getting the substrate for the beneficial bacteria that may govern metabolism to some extent.
Right. Or some people might go on a vegan diet to lose weight, and that does tend to help a lot of people. But then they're lacking perhaps iron and omega-3 fats and vitamin B12 and all these other things. So almost any restricted diet has this list of nutrients where a multivitamin, a fatty acid supplement, just covering the basics, maybe it's calcium or magnesium, would be needed to balance the diet, to bridge those nutritional gaps. So that's one thing I always stress to people. It's so important to make sure that you're covering the bases, even if you're restricting the diet, but that doesn't really go directly to addressing, are you burning more calories? Are you being more efficient? That's really the next level.
Okay. Well, so in other words, you're saying if you're deficient in any critical nutrient, maybe your metabolism will slow down. You actually may have less efficient energy burn off in effect.
Right. You have to be able to metabolize the foods you get and get the nutrients you need. If you're lacking something, your metabolism isn't going to go right. Maybe you're lacking a B vitamin, and you simply won't have the metabolic ingredients necessary to metabolize and burn fats or sugars, for example, or to turn them into what you need in the body as a material. So, you know, it's so important to balance things with supplements if you are on restricted diets. It's almost easier to avoid supplements on a balanced diet if you're eating lots and lots of different things all the time than if you're restricting the diet.
Okay, so a diversity, I think, is important. You may want to restrict or emphasize some macronutrients, say, you know, ketogenic diet or very low-carb diet. That could work as long as you're not so drastically restricting your nutrient intake, and perhaps, you know, for insurance, you need to take a multi. Neil, is it your observation? Some patients have told me that when they take a multi or B vitamins, they claim that it stokes their appetite. Is there any basis in science or in studies that show that by taking B vitamins somehow it makes you hungrier?
Yeah, actually, I recommended that to someone the other day who was looking to increase appetite, taking
so the opposite of they wanted to gain weight. they were right. Losing appetite.
And the reason why is because if you're taking these B vitamins, they are going to stimulate metabolism. And if you don't have the other components you need the fats and the, you know, all the other things, the other nutrients, that it's a solution that's waiting for the other parts of it. And so it could increase the appetite in a sense. But if you take your multis and your B complexes with meals, as is commonly recommended, that tends to minimize the problem because you're already eating. It's not going to make you hungry.
Okay, folks, at this point, let's pause and allow one of our sponsors an opportunity to share this important message with you. Listen up.
This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by True Niagen. New True Niagen Pro contains a unique form of vitamin B3, clinically proven to safely increase NAD, which is a vital resource used every day to help fuel and maintain the health of all living cells. NAD is critical for energy and cellular repair and supports muscle function. But as we age, NAD has been found to decline up to 50%. True Niagen Pro is clinically proven to safely increase NAD levels, caring for your cells to help you age better and live better. True Niagen Pro is only available through healthcare practitioners. Just go to drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com to get yours.
Thanks for listening and thanks for supporting our sponsors. They're what make intelligent medicine a continuing free resource to you. And now back to our guest, Neil Levin. What if the people from Protocol for Life Balance has written an article for us, it's on our website, The Role of Dietary Supplements in Weight Management. Are you familiar with that article? Can you run through some of the solutions that are provided there?
I am. In fact, that's Celine Torres, who's actually one of our documenters who reviews studies for us and helps us understand the mechanics of a study, how valid is a study, how appropriate is the study to the materials we're using, you know, very important stuff. And so we're talking about there is no one-size-fits-all diet. We all have different body types. We have different historical diets in our ancestors and what part of the world we came from, how
our
they
genetics
ate.
Can speak to it. But there are certain SNPs in our gene code that actually speak to what type of diet might be preferable.
Right. And even if I've seen some evidence, and this goes even beyond the studies of the Dutch in World War II, who were being systematically starved. And mm-hmm. they looked at the heights and the body composition and things like that. And there's actually some evidence going back even farther that people who are in famines tend to have upregulated burning calories and metabolism and things. People with different body compositions say that they come from different cultures. They metabolize things differently. We've seen over 1 to 3 generations of immigrants to the United States, for example, going from being lean to being obese. Their diet is different. Their lifestyle is different. They're not following the traditional things that worked for their families and their ancestors and their cultures. So that's an important factor. The gene regulation, as you mentioned, gets changed by things like different diets, by famines. We've seen the Dutch during World War II who were being starved, and they've studied them extensively to see what happened to them. And today, the Dutch are among the tallest population in the world with good nourishment. After World War II, it wasn't quite like that. Mm-hmm. So we know something of how this happens with gene regulation based on experiences such as famines and feasts and things like that affecting the way that the genes operate. And the switches that are operated and changed by these conditions might actually work over generations. You might pass those tendencies to your children, who then you're wondering why so many Americans are so big and obese. And it's not just the diet, because that's part of it. But part of it is because we're a more active people who are not as active as we used to be.
Right. But I also think there is something transgenerational, because I've seen in some populations where maybe the grandparents' generation underwent famine. I actually see this sometimes in the descendants of Holocaust survivors, that it's almost like their set point for weight gain is their threshold is lower for weight gain. In other words, it's like a survival adaptation. It's like, okay, we're going to starve. Okay, let's pass along to the next generation some adaptation so that they can survive on less calories. But ultimately, yeah, okay, you went from, you know, Eastern Europe to Central America to the United States in a couple of generations. You have plentitude. You have lots of food. And as a result, obesity is, there's a real susceptibility.
Yeah, I've heard that called the thrifty gene in the Kellogg report some 30 years ago. You know, so that's a fairly well-known phenomenon that we have to overcome, because we're set for a certain thing and our metabolism isn't quite right. And medications aren't always the answer. Thyroid would be another issue that is affecting a lot of people. As people eat less seafood, they're not getting as much iodine, and you can get iodine in a multivitamin. You could get it in iodized salt, but I was looking at the salt selection in a grocery store the other day, and very little of the salt is iodized nowadays. People want the Himalayan salts and all these fancy salts that have right on the front does not contain iodine.
So you're thinking thyroid function, and you know, things that support thyroid function could help to maintain optimal metabolism.
That's certainly one issue, and we've seen an increase in goiters, which is an indication of lack of iodine. It used to be mostly in the Midwest of the United States, now starting to show up in New England, which is historically a seafood eating area, because people are simply not eating as much of those foods that would give them iodine. And people are cutting salt out of their diet without realizing they might also be cutting the iodine out of their diet at the same time.
Mm-hmm. So when it comes to dietary supplements, I forget the name of the person from Protocol for Life Balance. She writes about several, including MCT oil. There's a stress formula. You know, we can talk also about the effects of stress on weight gain. And then something called keto lean. Can you touch upon those?
Sure. MCT oil refers to medium chain triglycerides. And it's a type of fat that if you're eating, say, coconut oil, you're getting maybe 12%, 15% MCTs in there. And I've seen in Scientific American and in other journals and articles that this is actually a very good fat for the brain. But it's also good for energy production. Now, what's the weird thing about MCT oil? What makes it different? First of all, it does not require the normal pancreatic enzymes and the bile from the gallbladder to help you absorb this particular fat. It absorbs very readily without all these other normal aids to digestion. So that means if you don't have a gallbladder, it not only is a fat that will absorb, but it helps you absorb other fats and fat-soluble nutrients, which is an interesting area there. And
So it doesn't interfere with fat soluble nutrients. It actually enhances the absorption of fat soluble nutrients.
That's right. We use MCT oil as a base to help people absorb ubiquinol, a form of coenzyme mm-hmm. Q10, to help them absorb vitamin D, a fat soluble vitamin, etc., because it is so good at absorbing and curing things with it. And MCT oil will not store as fat in the body, but it gives you that high calorie that fat gives you, so that if you're looking for, say, a bodybuilder trying to bulk up and get the calories they need, the intense calories they need, without putting on fat, they're trying to be very lean, that's a fat that bodybuilders will use. This is a fat that's used in that bulletproof diet that many of us have heard of, that you add some MCT oil to your coffee along with some other ingredients, and you get a lot of energy and you feel very full and satisfied for hours because of this. They add some butter and some other things to it as well, typically. And the MCT oil actually crosses the blood-brain barrier and is another source of energy for the brain and the nervous system, where you don't have to have sugar for that, and you don't have to break down protein like muscles to get sugar for the brain, to get fuel for the brain. It's an alternate fuel for the brain, and that's why it's being studied in problems with memory as we mm-hmm. age as a possible solution.
So when we call someone a fathead, that's actually a compliment, because they're properly in ketosis and metabolizing short-chain fatty acids for fuel.
Yeah, the brain is about 60% fat, by the way. So, yeah, it's largely fat. And in terms of weight management and body composition, there are clinical studies comparing MCT oil to normal vegetable oils, say canola oil or olive oil type things. And in a calorie-controlled diet, and volunteers in the group who were given MCT oil as their fat lost more weight than the group that received the usual oil. And in an 8 to 12 week study, between 8 weeks and 12 weeks, at both points, there was significantly greater weight loss in the group that was taking MCT oil for their fat. And it amounted to about 3 pounds over 12 weeks more weight loss than the group on the controlled diet, another controlled calorie diet, using other fats.
Oh, that's great. I mean, so calorie for calorie, when substituted for other fats, it exceeded the benefits of the diet. So that's, I'll take 3 pounds. It doesn't sound like...
And one more benefit, when they give a large dose and test for triglycerides in the bloodstream, they found that MCT-OL slightly lowered the triglycerides, where if you did canola or the other vegetable oils, you had a spike in triglycerides, serum triglycerides, which is not good.
So cardiovascular profile benefits, lipid profile benefits. Clearly, it's a superior form of energy compared to some of these other fats. Talk to us a little bit about the effects of stress. Is it really true that stress can keep the pounds on, literally?
It does, and there's a hormone called cortisol. A lot of your listeners have heard of that. And cortisol is a stress hormone made by the adrenal gland. And it is something that your daily stress contributes to stress-related overeating. Some people nervously eat, and because they're stressed, they can't really control it. The other issue is, if it's cortisol-related stress eating, it tends to get people to accumulate more fat in the abdominal area, the belly fat.
Yeah, the visceral fat. Yeah.
Because, yes, and that's a function of this stress-related eating. If it's stressful, the body thinks you need more stores and is going to store more fat. So controlling the stress helps control the overeating and helps control the growth of the belly fat as well.
It sounds like a little bit of a vicious cycle there, because stress begets poor eating habits. You go for the comfort foods, but it's like recently, I think there was an article just came out that showed that it's a double whammy. Stress plus comfort foods it is much worse than one or the other individually, that they have sort of a synergistic effect in causing fat deposition in all the wrong places.
That's true. And I usually recommend people, when they're eating, don't eat out of the bag of chips or snacks. Put some in a cup or a bowl. Give yourself some portion control. We've all seen those 100 calorie packs that are so popular, and a lot of people are adding them instead of substituting them into the diet. But, it is a way to control portion, and that is a legitimate strategy if you're not adding, if you're actually substituting.
So there actually is a product that Protocol makes that's a product that antagonizes cortisol. Can we talk about that?
Yeah, that's something actually that I developed, and it's called Adrenal Cortisol Support. And it's an interesting story how I developed this. This was about 10 years ago, a little over 10 years ago. I was hearing these commercials in the morning when I'm eating my breakfast. A lot of times I have the morning news shows on. And they were having these ads for these cortisol-reducing formulas. And there were a couple of them that were being touted at the time through the drugstores. And I looked them up because it was interesting to me. And what I found was they were using an active ingredient, an herb called magnolia. And, people have heard of magnolia trees and stuff like that. And, but the studies they were citing used two herbs. They were magnolia and philodendron, which is kind of like the house plant, but a certain extract of these plants. And it was a trademarked material combining these two plant materials called Relora. And it was made by a pharmaceutical company, owned the patent on that and everything. And we already carried this Relora ingredient, this combination ingredient, as a separate product in our selection. So I called that company and said, what would you think if I made another formula designed for cortisol, added some other ingredients to support that? And they said, that's fine. We'd love for you to do it. One restriction. You have to use the full clinical dose in any time you use our product in any formula.
So don't skimp on it. In other words, some people do this. They just put the name of something on, but they put a trivial amount so that people read it and they go, oh, there's Relora in it. But they insisted that you put a meaningful amount in there along with these other synergistic ingredients.
Right. We had to use the full clinical amount. And if we use just a tiny bit to look good on the label, the term we actually use for that is called label dressing.
Yeah,
we're
right.
We're dressing up the label to look fancy, but it's not really the real thing.
Mm-hmm. What are the other synergistic ingredients?
Yeah, the other ingredients we added to that, there's a few ingredients for helping control blood sugar, because that's part of the issue. And so we have chromium, the kilovite chromium. We've got the banaba extract, which is a source of chorosolic acid. That's just a technical term, meaning it's something that helps with insulin sensitivity and helps improve the ability of the body to move sugar from the bloodstream into the cells where it belongs, so the bloodstream isn't getting too much sugar. And we have things for the adrenal glands. We have vitamin C and pantothenic acid.
Mm-hmm. To support adrenals.
They're both used far more in the adrenal gland than most other areas of the body. We have a green tea extract as an antioxidant, and it's 50% EGCG, which is an antioxidant compound that has been shown independently of caffeine to have benefits on
it's a bit of a thermogenic effect.
Yeah. Metabolism. A thermogenic effect.
Yeah.
And if anyone's ever heard of raspberry ketones, mm-hmm. EGCG is the real deal that does what raspberry ketones are purported to do.
Okay. What's this product called for our listeners?
It's called Adrenal Cortisol Support.
Adrenal Cortisol Support. Okay. We got to pause now because we divide our podcast into two parts, as most of our listeners know. So in part two, I want to take up some other supplements that can be supportive of weight loss. We know that supplements are not the be-all and end-all of weight loss, but they are accoutrements to a successful weight loss program. We're going to take up the issue of a product called Keto Lean, explore what that is, and look at some other possibilities with today's guest, Neil Levin. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.